Daniel, the 7th chapter. He done some good preaching. Yeah, he's helped us. Helped the church, helped us. Your pastor's away helping another church this morning out in Rhode Island with Brother Paul Chapman. I'm sure they're having a great service, great time, and I am no doubt in my mind he'll do a wonderful job preaching the Word of God. Daniel, the 7th chapter, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to start reading at verse number 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. That's chapter 7. Did I tell you that? Did I get you the right chapter? Okay. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all of this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the four beasts, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Remember that. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and law, and they shall be given unto his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. Let's pray. Father, again, I want to thank you so much for your precious word. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Thank you, Father, for your grace, your goodness, your kindness to us. Thank you for these folk who've taken this morning to come to the house of God seeking to hear something from your word. We pray for our children's churches, Lord, that's going on at this same time. God bless each one of them. Encourage their hearts and help them that the work of God be done. Now, Lord, in this congregation, we just ask, Father, for you to do that which needs to be done in each of our lives. We'll thank you for it. We realize it's because of Jesus. We thank you for him and his wonderful love for us. Help this preacher. I need you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our pastor in the month of April preached on Satan and his diabolical plan, and how that Satan's work against the Christians, he works against the individual Christian, he works against the church. I certainly am not going to redo that, but I want to add to it just one other point this morning. Satan is looking for every opportunity to discourage you, to hinder you, to do anything he can to stop your growth in Christ, to stop you from being a witness, if you're saved here this morning, stop you from being a witness for him. And also, if you're not saved, he'll do anything he can to keep you that way. I think most of us understand that. The portion of Scripture that I read to you this morning, we realize its application is to the end time. It's Satan's plan, Satan's diabolical plan during the tribulation period, and the Antichrist and his raising up, and the nations there that follow him. That's the plan. That's the scripture basic. But there's two points in this that I want to read to you, that I want to show you Satan's way, the way he works. They're simple, they're plain. You see, Satan has been working for 6,000 years, and he knows what he's doing. We're new on the scene, basically. We're a new generation, but he's been doing this for 6,000 years. He's well aware of how he handles things and how he does things and how he destroys and hurts and hinders. He know it's worked for all of these years, and so he knows what he's doing. He also knows his time is short. The book of Revelation tells us that. Satan knows his time is short. So he's working overtime. And I mean he's working overtime in multitudes of ways. Because he understands, he knows that this time is winding down. There's two attacks that I want to show you, and then we're only going to deal with one of them. Two attacks of Satan and what he does, and they're presented to us in this portion of Scripture that I read to you. First of all, verse 21 says this, "I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them." There's no doubt whatsoever that's talking about open warfare. Satan as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. That's open warfare. A lion, although he may sneak up on somebody, roars when he attacks. Satan has been roaring and attacking the saints of God for multitudes of years. Probably Job would be one of the best illustrations of how he came and he attacked him openly, took all of his livelihood and his children and his health and all of those things. And of course, we look, and I want to take just a moment. Job's wife, I want to just say something in defense of her. She should not have done what she did. She should not have said, "Curse God and die." Absolutely should not have. It was wrong, and Job rebuked her for it. Speak one as one of the foolish women. But I also, and you and I, were not there losing 10 children and having to stand over 10 caskets. And to see the livelihood, because a woman's security is in her husband's job and the things he has and the security she has in the house. And not only that, then to sit and watch her husband's health go completely away. So I'm just saying that in defense of her. I'm not okay in what she did, but I'm saying old Satan knows what he's doing. And he proclaims open warfare. He's done it in the life of Paul. You look at Paul, and Paul was beaten. I think it was 5 times, they said. He was in shipwreck. He stayed a night and a day in the deep. And all the things that happened to the Apostle Paul, those were open attacks. Openly attacking a man of God. And I'm saying to you, Satan is good at that. He knows what he's doing, and he does war with the saints of God. But what I want to deal with you this morning is the other aspect of this, and we find that in the same chapter, verse 25. When he says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High." Satan also is very good at wearing out the saints of God. You see, that's not the open warfare. They're not destroyed because Satan has moved in like he did in Paul's life and Job's life and done something that would absolutely destroy them. He wears them out over a long period of time. And what I want to do, I want to just try to help us to see this morning how Satan uses the wearing out process. It said there, he said he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. As I said, he's very good at this. He knows what he's doing. He's very patient. Not like us a lot of times, but he's very patient. And he begins the wearing out process. And I want to just go through some things that Satan does to wear out the saints of God. I don't know where you're at this morning, but he's sure good at it. One of the things he uses is prolonged trials, maybe prolonged illnesses, sicknesses, prolonged things that absolutely just wear down sometimes the body and wears down the spirit of a man. Satan does know what he's doing in this. You see, and I talked about Job. Job was a tremendous man of God, and I think sometimes about him, and I don't know for sure. I do know because the scriptures tell us how he withstood all of that. But that would have been very difficult if you take it on yourself and say, that has happened to me. But there was a place in the 10th chapter of the book of Job that he said, my soul is weary of my life. He was not blaming God. He was not giving God credit for his blessings and all that. He just simply said, you know what? I'm in this life and I'm going through this and I'm just kind of weary. I'm wore down. Even Job, this great man of God, said this. I'm going to be reading to you from different portions of Scripture, and I'm going over to Psalms, if you want to turn, the 6th chapter of Psalm, and I want to read to you just a few verses of Scripture, the 6th chapter. In verse number 6, here's what the psalmist said, chapter 6, verse 6. I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. If you'll read that and study that, you'll find out he wasn't just talking about one night. He was talking about nights. He was talking about a lot of nights of it, that he spent upon his bed crying and weeping and groaning over these things that was coming into his life. And you noticed he said, I am weary. There's times when people get weary. Satan knows how to wear you down. But he goes on and he says, my eye is consumed because of grief. It waxes old because of all mine enemies. See, he had a lot of enemies. He had a lot of things coming into his life. And he said, mine eye is consumed because of grief. He said, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed, and let them return and be ashamed suddenly. You notice, though, the spirit of everything changes when David says here, you know, I've got all of these things. My bed is swimming in tears and all this. But he cries unto the Lord, and he said, God is going to hear my prayers. Now, the thing that I want to mention to you, though, is this did not just happen after one night of crying. This was not just one short time. What I'm saying to you is Satan will do everything he can to wear you down. David had time here to wear down and was groaning. But he said, God will hear my prayer. And God will take care of this. God will give me victory in this. But folks, listen to me. We can't look to God and say, you know, one night we have a problem and we lie and we cry and we go and then say, all right, Lord, where are you at? What I'm saying to you, sometimes it's a long period of time. I don't understand that. I'm not trying to explain it to you this morning. I'm just simply saying it's true. God, in all of his grace and goodness and kindness to us, but sometimes it's a lengthy period of time that God allows us to water our beds with tears. But the victory comes. And what I'm saying is, though, Satan will do anything he can to wear you down. And we'll talk about a little bit what happens when we get wore down in just a moment. But I want you to turn over to Psalms 69. And I'll read just one verse. Once again, the psalmist says, I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Now, folks, again, I'm saying this is a psalmist who's crying, and he said he's weary, and he says, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. Do you understand? Do you understand, though, that sometimes God just allows the length of time that we may not understand, but, oh, Satan, during that time, wants to wear you down and wants to wear you out. He wants to wear out the saints of God. I think constant pain can do that. I think when a person is going through constant pain and sicknesses, I think if we don't be careful, we can wear down. I'm not okay in the wearing down. I'm only saying it can happen. And Satan will do everything he can to see to it that you do wear down. What happens is when we wear down, we neglect our spiritual life. And the very things that will keep us strong, we begin to neglect. And we begin to neglect Bible reading. We begin to neglect prayer. We sometimes neglect church itself. Begin to walk away from the very things that will make us strong. You see, Satan just wants to wear you out. I've over the years dealt with a lot of people who just wore out. I'm not okay in it. I'm saying they just wore out. So they quit God. They quit church. They quit reading their Bibles. They quit praying. And that's never the answer. Oh, Satan succeeded in wearing them down. You see, what happens is when he does that, he gains an advantage. And what happens then, you become unuseful for service. Because once we're wore down, once we're not doing what God wants, and that's when we're not keeping our spiritual life strong, we no longer become useful for service. So then what happens? Well, this brings us to begin to side with Satan instead of God. We begin to blame God. Now, folks, I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you've ever been there or not. But if you don't be careful, we'll start to blame God for our problems. We'll even begin to doubt God that he loves us. You know, if all of this happens to us, God surely couldn't love us. Surely there's something wrong. Surely God doesn't love me anymore if all of these kind of things has come upon me and troubles has come beset me. Surely, no. You know better than that. No, if you really know God, if you know the scriptures, you know better than that. God is love. And God does love us. And God is always good. I mean all the time good. He is not good just for one day or a week or two. He's good all the time. He always has been, always will be. But Satan tries to convince us through his wearing down process that God really doesn't care about us. And then we get discontented. Yes, we get discontented, you see, and the desire to even serve God begins to filter away. Now, what I'm saying is, and I'm saying this for a purpose, because when you see in the paper all of these people, and there's multitudes of them now that commit suicide, listen, he can wear out not only the saints of God, he can wear out the lost also. Do you realize what despair must have come upon a person for them to take their own life? No, you think about that. That has to be deep despair in their life, to take your own life. And you know what happens? Satan has wore them down. He's capable of it. And you say, no, that never happened to me. Yeah, you better be careful. You better be careful. Because old Satan is good at the wearing down process. He can bring so many things to bear in our lives that seems, though, that God is not around anymore. But God is around, and God does love us. And Satan wants to wear us down. He'll wear out the saints of God. But it's also true with a Christian. He can just wear them down. I once knew, and I have no reason, well, not just one, but I knew a preacher. I knew of him. That committed suicide. A lot of problems had happened in his life. Troubles had come, and he just finally came to the end. I'm not trying to judge the man. I'm not trying to judge any. I'm just trying to say, if you think Satan can't wear you down, you're wrong. And maybe it won't be to the taking of the life, but it's just the giving up, just the quitting. Just I don't want to do it anymore. He just wears us out. Another thing that he can do, And the way that he can wear us out is through his correction. Do you know that God chastises every one of his children? You say, I've never been chastised. Oops, better get saved. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you right now, God chastises all of his children. Amen. Because there isn't any of us that's everything we ought to be, and he's going to be after us, and he's going to work with us and deal with us. But he says this in Proverbs 3:11. You don't have to turn there unless you wish to, but he says, neither be weary of his correction. So what I'm saying, you telling me that you can't get weary of his correction? He's telling us not to. He said, you be careful, because the correction that God brings into our life sometimes will wear us down. No, it's not supposed to, but I said it will. And he says, don't be weary of God's correction. He said to Israel over in the book of Isaiah, he said, thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. God was correcting them, trying to get them straightened on the right line, and they grew weary of God doing that. Have you ever grown weary of God correcting you? He's good at it. Thank God he corrects us. Thank God he does. But I'm going to tell you something after a bit. You know, you sometimes get weary of it. Well, that's what he said. He's warning us not to be weary, and the reason he warned us, because we can. So I'm saying again, you see, his chastising will do one or two things for us. It'll either strengthen us or it'll wear us out. I'm going to show you over in the book of Hebrews what God says about this. Book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Look at verse number 3 of the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews and read and listen as I read this, what God is saying. It says, for consider him that endureth such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now see, he's warning us. Whatever he says, don't do something, that's because we're very capable of doing it. And he's warning us. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now, folks, listen to me. There's not a person in here that's a child of God that has not been rebuked of God or chastened of God. Because that's what he does to us. And it's all right. It's right. It's proper. It's good. It's what he should do to us. But he also warned us in there, don't faint when that happens. He's not doing it to cause you to faint. He's not doing it to cause you to be discouraged. He's doing it to build you and strengthen your faith. And he says, don't when thou art rebuked of him. God rebukes. Did you know a lot of times God rebukes through preachers? Preachers get up. Our preacher gets up and preaches to us and rebukes us, and well should do that. Because that's part of the process. That's how God uses preachers to rebuke us through the word of God. It's not bad. It's right. It's good. And he says, don't grow weary in that. Don't faint because of it. Okay? Just hang in there and let it do what needs to be done. Because we're going to find out how you can either do that or get bitterness in your life. Let's read it. Verse number 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And isn't that encouraging? He loves us. For if we endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, thereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but we for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Did you notice? That's the first thing. That's the first thing can happen. When God chastens us, he said it can produce peaceful fruits of righteousness. That's what it's intended to do. It's to help us. Amen? Strengthen us. But then he says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now listen, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You see, the other side of this thing is this. You can either let it produce peaceable fruits of righteousness, or you can get bitter. You can just get bitter. You see, the chastening of the Lord is going to come either way. We are going to be chastised. So you can handle it either way. You can let it produce fruit in your life, or you can get bitter. And the real problem is this. Did you notice those last few words that I read? And therefore, many be defiled. You see, when people get bitter in their Christian life, it isn't just them that suffers. It's the people around them. I've seen whole families walk away from God because a daddy got bitter. I've seen whole families walk away from God because a mama got bitter. Yes, sir, I have. You see, it doesn't just affect you and me. See, God's chastening hand is a wonderful thing. He's trying to help us to be better for him. And we can take it either way. We can let it produce fruit, or we can get bitter. And when we get bitter, it's going to affect those around us. Amen? So the proper thing, the right thing to do is simply to take God's correction that he brings into our life and let it do that which he intends for it to do. Amen? Wouldn't that be proper? Wouldn't that be right? You see, old Satan, though, would just love for you to wear out because God's correction in your life and just quit. Just stop. That's what he would love for you to do. But God is not going to stop correcting us. We've got things that need to be straightened up. God is always busy about doing that, and Satan's always busy about trying to discourage you and to hinder your faith and to stop you from loving God and walking with God. He's always busy about that. Amen? Another way that Satan uses to wear us out is the greatness of life's task. And I want to show you a little something about that, because Satan is a deceiver. See, God gives us wonderful things to do in life. In fact, over in Isaiah, he says, "Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way." You see, in Galatians, God says, "Be not weary in well-doing." You can get weary in well-doing, or God wouldn't have said that. Amen? Just sometimes the things of life, the way that we live, what we're demanded of us, what we're supposed to be doing, and how we're supposed to be walking with God, we begin to get weary. Sometimes we look and say, and I've heard people say this, "Look, all that God expects from me, there is just no way that I can handle all that. I just can't do it anymore." I don't know whether you've ever heard that, but I've heard that. And they've told me, I just can't do everything God wants me to do. Sure you can't. Sure you can't. But you can with him. Well, he's the one that strengthens you. You can't do it on your own. See, one of the greatest problems in Christianity today is we try to sanctify ourselves. And old Satan will do anything that he can do to just make it a daily process of telling you how rotten you are. And that you don't have a chance to please God. Well, in ourselves, we don't. But with God's help, we do. You say, "Brother Ross, I just can't do it." I know you can't. That's you. But you can with God's help. You can do it. And so what we do is we try to sanctify ourselves, and that's a process I believe happens as soon as you get saved. It's a process that goes on until you die. Amen. God does everything he can all along the way to help us to be more and better for him. But when you start doing that in your own strength, you're in trouble. Amen. And another thing is this. When you begin to serve God, Satan wants you to do it in the strength of the flesh instead of the strength of the Holy Spirit. If you serve God in the strength of the flesh, you're going to wear out. I'm going to tell you right now. You're going to get so discouraged, you won't be able to make it. And that's what many times, and I've said this, and I'm sure our preachers said that, but you know, I could get up this morning and I could preach. Anybody could preach this morning in the strength of the flesh. Yes, they could. They could teach Sunday school classes this morning in the strength of the flesh. Oh, yes, they can. They can do anything in this church that's done this morning in the strength of the flesh. Or they can do it in the strength of the Holy Spirit of God in their life. And if you do it in the strength of the flesh, you're going to wear out. You're going to get so tired and wore out and weary. You know, Satan, just that's where he wants you. So I'm simply trying to say to you, we've got to understand something. We can't sanctify ourselves. We can't get all of our life. We need to work toward that, but it must be God doing it in us. And it must be God's doing the work in service that we do. It must be his strength, not our strength. You hear your preacher, you've heard me for years say to you, folks, there's nothing in us. Absolutely nothing in us that's good. Only God that's in us is good. And only he can do what needs to be done. Oh, Satan wants you to believe the opposite. He wants to just simply wear you out day by day by day by day by day. And he'll do everything he can to do that. Not only that, there's another area that I want to cover. It's domestic areas. It's home life. You say, Brother Ross, do you mean that can wear us out through home life? Absolutely. And I want to take you to some scripture and I want to show you what happened. I want to take you back to the book of Genesis, the 26th chapter of the book of Genesis. There's things that come up in our home life that just trouble us. Just natural things of life, problems that'll wear you out. Now I want you to look at Genesis, the 26th chapter, the 34th verse. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Just in short, Esau went out and married heathen women. Are you listening to me? They were not believers. They were pagan people. I think he done this on purpose because he had lost his birthright. I think he was mad. I think he knew that this would grieve his mother and father. And he went out and did this. That's just my opinion. But it brought grief to Rebekah here, the Bible says, and Isaac. Brought great grief to them. Now I'm telling you, folks, young people, listen to this preacher. You marry right. And don't you bring grief to mom and dad. I don't care who you are. I don't care how terrible you think your mother and father is. They are not. You'll learn that one of these days. But you wait to marry right. Because I want to show you another verse of scripture, what Rebekah said. Over in chapter 27 of that of Genesis. Chapter 27, verse number 46. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. Jacob, take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land. What good shall my life do me? He said, if Jacob goes out like Esau did, or she did, like Esau did and married the heathen, I don't know, my life is not even worth anything. And she said, I'm just weary of it. Oh, Satan had wore down with domestic problems in their own home. It's tired. Gets weary. Amen? Young people, you marry right. And you marry with the okay of your parents. You make sure they're saying it's okay. They're given something that God don't give anybody else. I would tell you to go to your pastor, to your parents before you ever, and I've said that for years, go to me as a pastor. I want you to come to me or come to your pastor, Pastor Jerry now. I want you to get their counsel and all those things, but I want you to go to your parents. And when them parents say, you know what, this is not a good thing, you better listen closely. You better listen real good. Amen. Here Rebecca was wore down just with what we would say domestic problems. All through the Bible you find that. You find David with ungrateful Absalom, his son. The troubles there, I can't describe them all. You've read them. Horrible problems happened with Absalom, and it brought David such grief. Eli, the priest, who had two sons, and they were absolutely unsaved and wicked sons. You know the grief that it brought him? You know, even Jesus himself had brothers and sisters who didn't believe him at the first. There's problems in homes that will just wear you out. Don't let it stop you. I'm going to show you where your help's at in just a moment. But do you hear me? There's things that Satan will use to simply wear you down. Okay? Another thing is through the daily routines of life. I'm going to go back to Exodus, the 18th chapter. Of the book of Exodus. Want to read, start reading at verse number 13. Yeah, I got the wrong book. Forgive me. Verse 13 in the 18th chapter of Exodus. Came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did in the, to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening?" And Moses said unto the father-in-law, "Because the people came unto me to inquire of God. And when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." Now I realize there's a difference of opinion on whether his father-in-law should have given him that information or not. I realize that, or whether he should have took it or not. But I will say this, if you don't be careful with just the daily things of life, you can get wore down. They'll just wear you down. I'm going to give you the answer to all this in a minute, but you've got to be careful. You've got to know your abilities and your limitations. And I realize something. I realize our limitations in Christ is enormous. If our trust in Him and our dependence on Him, but I also know this. Every single person out here is given different abilities and different strengths and different when it comes to their ability to do multitudes of things. Now, I believe with all of my heart, with God's help, you can do anything that God wants you to do. But I also believe with all of my heart, you can be wore down with just the normal things of life if you don't be careful. I'm going to tell a story on Tina Eichelman, used to be. That's why I'm used her name, because I told her this when she was Eichelman. She was in the school. And you know Tina pretty well. She was always busy, 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 just doing this and doing that. And felt like she should, a bus route and all of these. And one day she was telling me all the things that she was doing, and she had to do this and had to do this. And I looked at her. I don't know whether you remember it or not, but I said, "Tina, get a life." This is exactly what I said to her. "Get a life. Quit it." And she did. She got Bud. Yeah, she did. She got Bud. She decided there was more to life than just being busy every moment of the day. Get a life. Am I trying to tell you not to serve God? Of course not. But I'm trying to tell you, get a life. Don't wear down, because you're no good to God when you're wore down. She was getting to the place where she wasn't much good to God, because she was doing everything just on her own strength and all of these things. And then she come along, finally got that husband that she needed, and he's helped to settle her life. Well, he has. It's the way God intended for it to be. And I'm just saying, though, if you don't be careful, just the things of life, they can just wear you down. Now, what I'm going to do is give you two things. First of all, I want you to go with me to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. This will not take too long. 40th chapter of Isaiah. I want you to listen to these wonderful verses. I want you to hear who is one that never wearies. Okay? 28th verse, he says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But listen, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." You know what God is telling us. You know this. You've heard this verses of scriptures. God's saying, please trust in me. Please trust in my strength. Let me be the one that strengthens you. I am never weary. And if you'll wait on me, I will strengthen you. He'll give you the strength you need. You say, Brother Ross, how does he do that? I'm going to take you to another portion of scripture over in the book of Ephesians. And I want you to listen. In the book of Ephesians, the third chapter. Third chapter of the book of Ephesians. I want to start reading at verse number 13. Would you listen to this? "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause," Paul is saying, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Listen to what he says. "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." You see, God gives us strength in the inner man. You know, I think many people in here physically are weakened. As we get older, we are weakened. But we don't have to be weakened inside. God says he's the one that will give you the strength inside. The strength you need. Why? Because he is all strength. And he'll help you not to wear out. You don't have to wear out. Satan wants you to just wear down. And you may not be real strong physically, but I want to tell you something. God gives us the ability inside to be strong spiritually. Amen? Inside, we ought to have a special strength from the Lord inside. Amen? On a daily basis, we ought to be strengthened. He's the one that can do that. Don't let Satan wear you out. He wants to do it. He'll fight you openly, but he wants to, over long periods of time, just wear you down. Amen. Please don't let him do it. Unsaved, if you're here, if anybody here unsaved, I want to tell you right now, he'll do anything to stop you from getting saved. Today is the day of salvation. Now's the time that God wants you to be saved. You see, I've seen people over the years put off salvation. I've seen them cling their hands to the pews to put off salvation. I've seen some of those later on come to Christ, and some of them never got saved. What I'm saying to you, he wants to stop you, but today's the day of salvation. Today's the day when you ought to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior before he wears you out. Amen? And as a Christian, I'm just encouraging you. Please don't let Satan wear you out. He has a great plan for your life. Amen? He's a good God. He loves you. He'll strengthen you. And what we need to do is cry out to him for the strength that we need to live our daily lives. Amen? I trust you'll do that. Let's bow our heads. I might ask you real quick, should you be here today and you say, Brother Ross, I am not saved. I'm not born again. If I died, I would not go to heaven. I'm sure of that, or I have doubts about it. Say, Brother Ross, I'm concerned. I need, before Satan wears me out, I need to get that straightened out. Say, Brother Ross, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Would you just lift your hand and say, I need to be saved. I really need salvation. Would you just lift your hand, please? Say, Brother Ross, I want you to pray for me. You say, Christian, you're here today. And you say, Brother Ross, he's just about gotten me wore out. I'm really wore down. I'm not what I should be, and I'm not seeking the strength of God like I should, and I'm tired, and I'm worn. And you say, would you just pray for me? Just help me. You go, lift your hand, please. Thank you so much. God bless you. But I want to tell you something. Life is difficult. Amen. Satan wants to do everything to make it more difficult. But I'm encouraging you, have a wonderful God. You have a wonderful Lord that loves you. Anyone else? Anyone else? I just need help. I need, God bless you. Thank you. I need God's help. Let's pray. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. Someone else? Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much today for your love and the assurance and that you're a God that never wearies. Thank you that you never faint. And thank you, Lord, according to the scriptures, you're willing to strengthen us in the inner man and help us. Lord, this old life is not an easy thing. And old Satan does everything he can to discourage and hurt and wear down the saints of God. But I pray through Father trusting in you and putting our faith and trust in all that you are and the strength that you can give us, that you'll help us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.